Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We're also brought to you by Wine Tasting Driver. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. We're also brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin County for over 60 years. Coming up, I'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 26-23 loss to the Seahawks, and we will review the season and look ahead to the offseason and some of the decisions that the 49ers have to make. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It was an awesome PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, won by Colin Morikawa. We'll always remember the shot he hit on the 16th hole. And now the course is open to the public. And if you're a resident of San Francisco, visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, the 49ers finish up the season against Seahawks, losing. They end up 6-10 on the year, an injury-riddled season. And, you know, this game was important for the Seahawks because they wanted to – they were trying to get the number one seed. It didn't work out that way for them. But, you know, both teams didn't really play well offensively until later in the game. It was kind of an odd game in that way. And the 49ers had a chance there to win the game. But, you know, once again, a turnover, which kind of was a killer – a lot of the second half of the season, you know, fumble by C.J. Beathard definitely helped Seattle's cause.
Yeah, it did. I mean, that was unfortunately that was the difference in the game. And we don't fumble there. We win. Gosh, played spectacular defense. Played really well on offense. God, yeah, one turnover. Young kicker came in and kicked really well.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that was nice.
I think he made a spot for himself in the NFL next year.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think if you come in a game like this and nobody knows what to expect and all of a sudden it's Tristan Vizcaino we're talking about, by the way. He's making all these field goals, you know, 47 yards, 36, 33. I mean, he was pretty consistent, so if somebody's going to take a look at him.
Absolutely, and he kicked him. I mean, he kicked him well. Even the first one was a little bit of a high snap and a good hold, and you know, hit it right through the uprights.
Yeah,
right down the middle. So, but yeah, we played well. We just really the difference one turnover.
Yeah, one turnover was the big difference in the game. I thought also, Steve, that this was important to kind of get a finishing good note there for George Kittle and Jeff Wilson. Those were two guys who played well in the game that, you know, especially that catch that Kittle made. Man, that was a highlight material catch with the one hand spinning around and everything. And, you know, and Jeff Wilson is a guy who's going to vie for a lot of playing time at running back next year with Raheem Mostert. And, you know, he had some pretty good bursts there from time to time. He scored a couple of touchdowns, too.
Yeah. I would agree. They played well. Yeah, well, I mean, God, just we needed one more play, you know, not to go to something negative, but you know, a couple maybe misreads by CJ, and you know, he knew it on the second one. God, if Kittle could just barely misses the one in the end zone, we just were, you know, an inch short. Unfortunately, like I said, Wilson ran hard as he always does. Even tried getting the ball to McKinnon, you know, late as well, which he didn't really play that much. But again, good coming out of the backfield.
Yeah. And, you know, defense played pretty well. Witherspoon and company, they were holding down DK Metcalf. He only had three catches, but Witherspoon played well. Yeah, he just got beat on that the go-ahead touchdown, though. Tyler Lockett came across the middle there in that crossing route, and he just beat Witherspoon. That was his good play by Lockett.
Gosh, that was a real, I mean, obviously a tough route to cover in man coverage all the way across the field like that. Offender is going to win most of the time, and then a ball that just can't be defended that Russell Wilson throws, is the offender is going to be he's going to be very successful. I mean, that was just a spectacular throw.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson had a really good season, and yeah, I mean, he's just consistent, you know.
Yeah, and he had, even when he, I mean, I know he's been sacked a lot, but man, he can buy time. And even on a play like that, you think you have him, and he escapes and buys time, and then makes a great throw.
Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, when you think about it, since he became the starter in 2012, the Seahawks have been to the playoffs 8 out of 9 times, and they've won the division 4 times. So this guy's a winner, and the 49ers going forward, they have to figure out a way to solve him, match him, you know, somehow do something, because he's always beating the 49ers, except, you know, last year in that big game at the end of the year. That was the one exception, you know, where the Niners were able to come through.
Exactly, and make the stop on I don't remember if it was third or fourth down, but make the stop at the goal line.
Yeah, the Greenlaw play, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I've told you this before, but I ran into Russell Wilson at the Super Bowl, you know, back in or last February. Had a few cocktails, so I introduced myself to him, and I said, "Dude, you are," this is honest to God's truth, I said, "Dude, you are really good, but you're killing my Niners."
He probably laughed at that one.
He did. He laughed. Anyway, he was very nice, and he was very, very cordial, but like, "Dude, you are killing me. You are good."
And I think some of the Niners might have been a little puzzled there at the end of the game when it was supposed to be a kneel down situation. And then he tossed a pass to David Moore, and unbeknownst to a lot of people, David Moore had something in his contract, a little incentive, and he needed that catch for some money, and that's why Russell did it.
Yeah, I figured that. That's cool that they did that. I try and explain to the guys on the other side of the ball in that situation, and. You know, good that Pete Carroll, that is, allowed him to do it, and just tell the guys, look, he needs a catch. We're gonna get him one. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. In that situation, but yeah, I mean, I figured that when I saw what they did, I was like, wait a minute, and then I was like, somebody needed a catch for a bonus. So.
Yeah. So one of the real highlighted players, I think, this year on defense for the Niners was Fred Warner, and he actually said he plans to get 10 times better in the offseason. And he won both of the key awards, the Len Eshmont and the Bill Walsh Awards, which is, you know, for courageous and inspirational play, and that's for the Eshmont Award, and for the Walsh Award, that's the MVP. So, I mean, that's pretty amazing. That's just a great year and a guy to really build around for next season.
It sure is, and he was terrific the whole year, I don't think he missed a game, maybe he missed a little bit of time, I don't think so, but to not have missed time even for a let's call it a relatively minor injury is amazing in itself, and then to not to have the discipline to, again, take care of yourself and not catch COVID in an unprecedented year, and I think pretty much play every down the whole season is amazing. And there's no question he was the most valuable player on the team this year. And going forward, to have, you know, Solly and Bosa. You know, I don't know what D Ford's future is, and these young defensive linemen that played spectacular this year, young and some relatively old, in Hyder. I think he only he only can get better because he's got so many good people in front of him, and he's such a great athlete that, I guess there'll be some more pressure on him next year just because the expectation is higher.
Yeah, there's a lot of decisions to be made on both sides of the ball, especially defense, because these free agents, you've got Tart, Sherman, Verrett, Kaywan Williams, you mentioned Hyder, DJ Jones, those guys are all free agents.
Oh, wow, are they really? I mean, it's some really good play by guys, I know we talked about it before, guys that I guarantee you the Niners were not expecting to have to contribute. I mean, yeah, they were on the roster, and they're confident in them that if they do get a chance, they would perform. And a lot of guys really helped themselves this year because a lot of guys got to play.
So many injuries.
So that's interesting. That's a lot of free agents. And I know that they weren't going to, extend. They weren't going to option the fifth year of Solly's contract. They had said that even before this season started. Solomon Thomas, that is.
Yeah.
I don't know what will happen now. I would think that they would have to keep him for the fifth year just because he probably wouldn't be healthy until, the start of the season. I we'll see what happens. I hope they keep him around. But there are going to be some tough decisions, no question. I would say that's a good problem to have, that so many guys played well for you this season, that you get to pick and choose.
Yeah, and then on the offensive side, too, you got Kyle Juszczyk and Trent Williams. They may not be back. It's tough to lose players like that.
Juszczyk is a free agent?
Yes, and it's tough to lose. I mean, he fits so perfectly for the Niners.
There's no way they let him go. I mean, I would think that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Trent Williams, I thought they restructured his deal.
Not yet. I think they would have to do that, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen. So we'll see if that actually happens. Yeah.
I would think, I don't know.
Well, yeah, his latest comment was that it's not often that a left tackle gets to test free agency, and then, he was kind of interested in it. So we'll see. Yeah. Well, when 49ers Extra continues, we'll talk about the quarterback situation with Steve right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McLennan at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, going forward now, I mean, of course, the number one topic of conversation in the offseason for the media is going to be the quarterback position. So let's listen in to what Kyle Shanahan had to say on Monday about what's happening under center.
Last year I was very happy with our starting quarterback. I was very happy and content with our second string. I was very happy and content with our third string. They're all in our contract. We were good to go. Going into the offseason, it seemed like we had about 3 draft picks. The first, and then we didn't have another one until like the fourth. And so it's, all right, we're not even touching quarterbacks. We're good with all 3 of ours. We don't need to look much into that. And of course, when someone like the greatest player to ever play football is out there, you definitely look into that regardless. But besides that, we weren't because of our situation. This year, our backup and our third, right now, one's restricted and one's unrestricted. So you have to look into everything when you're trying to fill out a quarterback roster. We have a starting quarterback, but in order to know where these guys are going to be, we got to get either re-sign the guys we got or see if we can upgrade them through the draft or free agency. In order to do that, you have to evaluate everything so you know how to stack it and stuff. So definitely be looking at a lot more of that stuff this year than I did last year.
I'm just curious, Steve, because you spent a lot of time as a backup quarterback. So you know what C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins went through. And, I mean, you've been evaluating those guys throughout the year. I mean, how much of a challenge is it when you don't get to play that much, then all of a sudden you're thrust in that. Now you're being evaluated, when you get in there as a starter, and the Niners really need a solid backup. I think that it kind of it's kind of shown its ugly head here, where you know they just haven't had a guy that can come in and win consistently, and that's you know it's not easy. Yeah. Not a lot of teams have a great backup quarterback, so I'm just curious about your take on that whole situation with the Niners.
I would say that Mick didn't play consistent enough. I would say CJ obviously didn't get to play as much. I think he played pretty well for the most part. But to their defense, if we had everybody else playing this year, and you know, if we had you know Debo and Ayuk and Kittle and Mostert and
Wilson, he was out for a while too. Yeah.
Yeah, Wilson, you know, Tevin Coleman. I mean, if we had everybody except for Jimmy G.
Even Jordan Reed, he was out too.
Jordan Reed, and he must have been hurt on Sunday because he didn't play at all.
No.
I thought I saw him in uniform, but he must have been banged up because he didn't. I was looking forward to seeing him out there too without Ayuk and Debo out there. Had we had all those guys on offense and then everybody on defense, yes, we would have won more games with CJ and Nick because everything else would have been more consistent. There wasn't any consistency, whether, you know, because there were so many guys hurt and it was such a, and then guys maybe have COVID and they're out. So there were lots of moving parts and I'm using that as an excuse for them, even though I prefaced it with yes, Nick needs to be more consistent. CJ, I thought, was pretty consistent. He just needs to play more. And going forward, I don't know if those guys are. I don't know what their contract situation is.
Well, they're both free agents. Those guys are both free agents. Yeah.
So you know, I don't know if they do something with Rosen. I don't know what his. I don't know what his situation is. He really hasn't played that much. I mean, he's probably played more than both of them because he was a first-round pick and he was a starter in Arizona. But if I'm John Lynch or Kyle Shanahan, I'm probably looking at a veteran guy that's been a starter, a long-time starter, maybe is too old to be somebody's franchise guy because now they've got change, and I'm the first person that comes to my mind is Matt Ryan, even though I still think he can be a starter, but depending on you know who gets put in place there as a GM and the head coach, you know, Matthew Stafford, I don't know what his situation, I think he just signed a huge deal, so I don't know if they could afford him unless he got released.
But a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, that I mean he's been a perfect backup guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of old now. He's getting up close to 40.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd go there even though I love the way he plays and the things that he's done. Yeah, possibly, but I don't know. I don't see that one happening, but I could easily be wrong. I just think I don't know those other two guys, you know, come to mind sooner and maybe it's I don't know if it's a Sam Darnold, another person like Sam Darnold, younger, been a starter for a couple few years, maybe hasn't panned out yet,
that you bring in. Yeah,
but I think with some good coaching, I think Darnold could be pretty good. So I don't know because he's technically younger or maybe the same age as Mullins and Beathard, but younger than Jimmy G.
Yeah, maybe they draft a quarterback too. That's the other option and try to bring him along as a backup.
Yeah. I don't know if he'd go there because we've seen. Oh, Carson Wentz is the other person I was thinking of.
That's true. Yeah, Carson Wentz. Who I think
Carson Wentz is very good.
Yeah, he'll be out there for sure.
I just think he's in a very tough situation. in Philadelphia. And according to what they were saying on the game Sunday night, that the meetings are happening in Philadelphia today. So, and I think there's going to be some big changes there. Because, and then I also didn't realize that Dorsey, John Dorsey, the former GM from the Chiefs and the Browns, had been consulting with them all season. So that was an interesting twist that I didn't know about until the other day.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, the situation with Jimmy Garoppolo, we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, but, I mean, you got a salary cap hit of $26.9 million, and if you cut him, it's only $2.8 million. Now, the 49ers last week, Kyle Shanahan came out and said, you know, that Jimmy G is our quarterback, and that leads me to believe, Steve, that they're going to restructure his contract,
yeah.
you know, convert
yeah.
some of it into a signing bonus. And, I mean, Jimmy yeah. G wants to be back here, and it seems like the best move. What do you think?
I think so. I think that's the way to go, because with a drop in salary cap of $20 million for 2021 to $175 million, I don't think you can afford to have that what did you say, $27.9 million?
$26.9, yeah.
$26.9, excuse me. I don't think you can have that hit. So I think that they restructured his deal, you know, I don't know how many years it was originally, but you know, you're going to restructure it, give a majority of it to him in a signing bonus that gets prorated over the number of years that the contract is for. So that would be the easiest way to handle it, and then I'm sure Jimmy would be fine with doing that, because he's probably going to make just as much money, if not more.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at it like, what's the alternative? Are you really going to upgrade your quarterback position that much if you cut ties with him? And I just don't see it. Do you see that?
No, I do not. I do not see that. Like I said, he's proven to be a winner. I mean, yes, he's been hurt, but when he's playing, he's proven to be a winner. So, I don't see them making that change. I mean, if you did, I mean, yes, I know Kyle has history with Matt Ryan, but I think if it were me, I would want my guy to be Carson Wentz when he's younger. I think he's a good player, and he's got more mobility than Matt. So I think that's my next choice. Because of age, mobility. I mean, you know, two seasons ago, he was almost league MVP if he yeah. didn't get hurt. So, he can play. He was just in a bad situation this year. But the bottom line is I don't see them parting ways with Jimmy G. I see them restructuring, like you said.
Yeah.
Contract.
And I like that. And I like the idea of him with a bunch of healthy players that were out,
yeah.
you know, that
yeah.
on this offense could really be potent.
Oh.
I mean, when you think about, we've talked about that too. Ayuk and Debo, Wilson and Mostert, you know, Kittle, if it's Jordan Reed or, you know, Dwelly, I mean, they've got some options there.
Jordan Reed, Dwelly, yeah. I mean.
Bourne has emerged as a receiver too, you know, so
and
a lot of
and,
options.
The other young guy hurt. That's been hurt.
Yeah, back injury.
I mean,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's been out for 2 years. So, I mean, we've got some serious weapons. I mean, like I said, I think I said last week on the podcast or 2 weeks ago, the problem is going to be is there enough footballs to go around?
Right. Right.
You know, defensively, it'll be interesting. You know, if Saul leaves for a head coaching job, you know, who comes in? What defensive philosophy do they have?
Well, D'Amico Ryans is being considered. He's the inside linebackers coach right now for the Niners, and he was a two-time Pro Bowl player.
Okay.
His name has come up. I mean, of course, they haven't had to make the decision yet because Saul didn't get a job yet, but it really looks like he's going to get one of these jobs. And we were just talking about it before the podcast. There are six openings. So he's going to be interviewing for a few of these right off the bat.
I would think so. I just, you know, and Kyle's given him the kind of given him his blessing, you know, saying that personality wise, he thinks he can handle it. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. I would think that they would try and keep the philosophically keep the same approach that Saleh has had, and the hard part I think will be, and they talked about it a number of times on telecast on Sunday, that the guys like Saleh so much because of his communication skills.
Yeah, infectious enthusiasm too.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've seen players get better under him. You know, guys like Greenlaw, Warner. Yeah. You know, it just seems like they've improved since he's been here.
No question. So that won't be a seamless change. But you hope that you can, from Kyle's perspective, can keep it as seamless as possible.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandersville has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in Santa Fe. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. They are a group of fun-loving, wine-loving people who are social, friendly, and looking to show you around wine country. Whether you're visiting Napa or Sonoma Valley, their guides are here to share knowledge, laughter, and conversations about wine or anything else in between. They're not the stuffy polyester suit-wearing limousine driver that detaches from the group. They are right in the middle of it with you during your car ride, between stops, and of course, available to help throughout the day. From running errands to picking up lunch, they'll make sure you have the best time possible. So give Wine Tasting Driver a call at 707-681-7050. That's 707-681-7050. Or go to winetastingdriver.com. So who do you like to win the Super Bowl? I mean, I guess take each conference and who's going to make the Super Bowl first.
I would say that you would, right away you'd have to pick Kansas City, Green Bay.
Yeah, they get the week off, so that helps.
Yeah, but I wouldn't count out Buffalo in the AFC.
They're playing great.
They're playing so well. The other team, an NFC team, hard to count out the Seahawks just because of Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and their defense played a lot better the second half of the year.
Yeah, although they were struggling. I thought they struggled some the other day.
Yeah.
Against the Niners. I guess you can't count out Brady because he knows how to win games.
Exactly.
And he knows how to win in the playoffs. Although I hope Alex and the Washington FC can beat him on Sunday.
Yeah, well, that's a great story. There's no doubt about that he was able to help his team get to the playoffs after all that he's been
through. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would have said Pittsburgh would be in the running, but they really didn't play well the second part of the last 5 or 6 weeks. So I'm not thinking they're going.
They haven't.
Yeah, I would stay with Kansas City, even though I think Buffalo, like you said, they're playing great. And on the NFC side, I would probably go with Green Bay because of that. Yeah, you get that extra day. And Aaron Rodgers had a great year. So, yeah. I mean, the two teams that have the bye, man, that is really a big,
that's hard.
Advantage. Yeah.
That's hard to beat. That's hard to overcome.
Yeah. So, well, I think next year the Niners are going to have a shot at it. I really do. If they're healthy.
Oh, there's no. Yeah. I would agree. Yeah. I mean, just you just keep thinking about all these playmakers. Like, oh my gosh, if we could have had them all year, we would be, we'd be in a different situation.
Yeah, and now it just depends on how many of these guys they are able to keep because of free agency and the salary cap and all that. So there's a lot to, think about.
A lot of, as you said earlier, a lot of tough decisions to make.
Well, it's been a lot of fun, Steve, all year. I love doing these podcasts with you every week. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Always fun to talk about the games.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Look forward to talking to him again next year about the San Francisco 49ers. Thank you very much for listening throughout the year. A reminder that we have our Warriors Dubs OT podcast starting up again on Friday. Ray Woodson again joining me as the co-host on the sportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Have a great offseason, and we'll talk to you again on Friday with the Warriors podcast.